One can certainly understand why St. Augustine said, "He who sings prays twice," after hearing music like that. Our gospel lesson this morning is drawn from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And here in this section of the Book of Glory, in an intimate moment before Jesus goes to the cross, he instructs his disciples on how they are supposed to go about living with one another and in the world around them. So listen now for this good news from John. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." May we be blessed in the hearing of this good news. Pray with me, please. Loving God, we seek to abide in the love that your Son has shown us. We seek to follow after him and to live in this way of love. And so now what we ask of you is that you indeed abide in us so that we might abide in you, and that as you have loved us, so may we also love in the everyday. All this we ask in his name. Amen. I am the true vine. Jesus uses metaphors constantly. I read somewhere, let's take our metaphors mixed, but not fixed. Let's take them mixed, but not fixed. Metaphors are useful and evocative, especially in Jesus' gospel usage. But when you try to take them too literally or too far, you end up with a kind of metafusion described by Mike Murdoch once in The Door magazine. This is what Murdoch wrote. "Jesus taught that we must become like children as small as mustard seeds that grow up and give away all their fruit to the poor until they fit through the eye of a needle so that their father will graciously welcome them home and kill the fatted goat that has been separated from the sheep which the good shepherd went looking for but was unable to find among the lost sheep of Israel. And so he found a coin which he paid to the innkeeper. And so there was great rejoicing in heaven for the lawyer who loved God and his neighbor and had faith the size of a camel." That's a mixed metaphor, isn't it? As my one associate would say who went out with the kids, "Say what? Beg pardon? What does this mean?" Well, remember that the periodical for which this gentleman was writing, The Door, began life as The Wittenberg Door, which was a religious humor magazine, and a very good one at that. But I think that the author makes his point, which humor often does. We get into the images and forget why we're using the images. That they're only there to get us into the reality behind them. "Abide in me as I abide in you," Jesus tells his disciples in this intimate discourse at the end of his life. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide. Take up your home in me. Live in my teaching. Be connected to me and to what I stand for and how I live. I think this is fairly easy to unpack, if not to live. It's certainly advice that works today as always. Simple abiding, simple attachment, simple drawing from and adding to. And Jesus' message is positively organic. John Shea, the contemporary theologian and storyteller, points this out beautifully in his book, Eating with the Bridegroom. This is what he writes. A vine connects the nutrient earth with the flowering branches. It is a medium, a conduit between a greater reality and the fruit that greater reality is able to produce in its derivative forms. In a similar way, Jesus is also a vine, a mediator, the connection between the divine source and creation. The divine creation connection is always present, but it is not in the consciousness of all people. Jesus is true because he is conscious of this connection. The word for true in Greek means a lack of forgetfulness. The true vine remembers at all times the communion between all there is and the source of all there is. This means that the true vine lives simultaneously in the flux of time and in the eternal now. That's the beauty and the key to all of this, to understanding it, and I would say to living it. And that is love. Love that ties us not just to the great hereafter, but to the great here now. Today, as we celebrate the love of mothers everywhere and in every time and place, perhaps the other metaphor that we can use is mother love. Mother love loves when others don't or even can't. One of the great expressions that my grandmother, God rest her soul, used to use was, "Oh, God, love," and then she'd say the person's name and say, "Only a mother could love him or her." Now, you think about that. God loves us. God loves us as a mother does. And back in the 12th through the 14th century, there was a movement in certain parts of the church where they started talking about Jesus as mother. Julian of Norwich even says in one of the showings, she refers to Jesus, our mother, he. Why? Because of that source, because of that ground, because of that being nourished by who he is, who connects us to the source of all that is, who is God. So we can say that God loves us as a father does. God loves us as a mother does. God loves us as a sibling does. God loves us. That's the point. And as John tells us in his first epistle, God does this because it's God's nature to do this. God is love. And the one who loves and lives in love knows God and reflects God. So those who know God, those who abide in God, those who want to be connected to God, love. And there's the point, and there's the celebration, and there's the course of action for the day and the days ahead. Love. God has revealed love for us, which casts out fear, and now we're to reveal that love as concretely, as unselfishly, as persistently as God has. Those who love God love others, period. And as John says so powerfully in the epistle, one who says, "I love God," and hates his brothers or sisters is a liar, and there's no truth in him. There's no aletheia. There's no forgetfulness. There's no lack of forgetfulness in that person because they forget. Why? Because he says, because how can you say that you love your brother? How you can say you can love God whom you haven't seen when you don't love your brothers and sisters whom you have seen? So my point today is get on with the business of loving. And it's a good day to do that on Mother's Day. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So happy Mother's Day to all of you who bear that title and have the privilege, and all of us should rejoice in the mother love of God. And then, we should live it. Amen. And it is in that assurance of the better day that we come in faith to pray. I would ask your prayers this day. We received word this morning from Mary Chapin, one of our church members, that her grandmother, Marjorie Harkness, is near death in Washington State. And Mary and family are there, and they have asked our prayers. And this morning I received an email from a teaching colleague of mine, Dr. Tim Johnson, that his brother Todd has suffered a stroke, and his younger brother. And so they're seeking our prayers too. So that's in our church family and outside our church family. And we continue to pray also for Joyce Orr, who's recovering at Lutheran Home, for Ellis Brower, for Nancy Stevens, who's at Congregational Home, and George Kapke, who's in a rehab facility in Arizona. We remember Allison Branch, who died in April, and her services were held. And we also remembered Grace Forrester on Friday, and we continue to hold her family in our prayers as they mourn her passing. And we received word that John Miller, a longtime church member, passed away at Congregational Home yesterday morning. And we continue to hold Kathy Collis in our prayers as she continues her recovery from surgery. All of these things we take to God in a moment of silence, and then we join our prayers together. Let us pray.